This is an audio summary for your AIL 8102 course. The reading is Prediction Machines, Chapter 17, A Eye in the C-Suite, by Ajay Agrawal, Joshua Gans, and Avi Goldfarb. When Steve Jobs walked on stage in January 2007 and introduced the iPhone, nobody in the crowd was thinking about taxis. Yet within a decade, that was exactly what people meant when they talked about the smartphone. It disrupted an entire industry. The book's authors believe artificial intelligence is on par with history's most transformative technologies: electricity, automobiles, plastics, the microchip, the internet, and smartphones. But here's the thing: predicting when and where disruption will strike is nearly impossible. So the question for your organization is not if you need AI, but when it becomes something a CEO has to put on the agenda. When is artificial intelligence a strategic issue, not just an operational one? The answer lies in three critical ingredients. First, there has to be a trade-off in your business model. Amazon didn't invent shopping, and it didn't invent shipping. But Amazon wrestles with a dilemma. Should it follow the traditional model of shopping then shipping? Customers browse, they buy, then goods arrive. Or should it take a bet on prediction and move to shipping then shopping, sending items to customers' homes before they even know they want them? The challenge is that the second model might generate more sales, but also produce far more returns and refund costs. Without some way to reduce uncertainty about what customers will buy, the costs of returns outweigh the benefits of early delivery. The second ingredient is that prediction can resolve that trade-off by reducing uncertainty. If Amazon could perfectly predict what you'll want and arrange for it to arrive by your front door, then the savings from fewer returns and faster sales would win out. Better prediction tips the balance. Third, you need a prediction machine good enough to actually do that work. That's where the economics gets interesting. Consider Otto, a German e-commerce company. It discovered that customers would abandon their online orders if delivery took more than a few days. Worried customers simply walked into a physical store and bought the product instead. Otto had a database of 3 billion past transactions and hundreds of other variables: search terms, demographics, everything. Using this data, the company built a prediction machine that could forecast with 90% accuracy what products it would sell within a month. That single improvement changed Otto's entire business. Inventory dropped by 20%. Returns fell by 2 million items per year. The company restructured its warehouses, logistics, and delivery guarantees. Prediction didn't just save money on warehousing, it fundamentally changed how Otto organized itself as a business. Now here's where it gets subtle. For your organization to adopt a prediction machine of this magnitude, you often need to build it yourself or have it built specifically for you. That brings us to a story about hybrid corn in 1930s Iowa. Farmers in Iowa were early adopters of hybrid corn, a specially bred corn created through decades of crossbreeding. It was more drought-resistant and higher yielding. But it required specialized seed, and it had to be tailored to local growing conditions. Alabama farmers looked like laggards in adopting the new technology. When economist ZVI Grilliches dug into the data, he found something counterintuitive. Alabama farmers weren't slow. The economics just didn't work for them. Alabama farms were smaller with thinner profit margins. The return on investment for hybrid corn wasn't there, not because farmers were unsophisticated, but because the math didn't add up. Iowa farmers could spread the costs across larger acreage and recoup the investment faster. They could afford to experiment. As more farmers in the region adopted, seed markets thickened, costs fell, and adoption became more attractive for everyone else. In artificial intelligence, Google plays Iowa. The company has more than 1,000 AI development projects running across search, ads, maps, translation, every part of its business. Meta, Baidu, Alibaba, Salesforce, all the tech giants are doing the same. They have 2 decades of digital investment behind them. They have huge profit margins. They can afford to experiment with an eye on a chunk of their business, watch what works, then scale it across their entire enterprise. For most other businesses, the path is less clear. You might not have digitized your entire operation. You might not know what you want to predict. But here's the thing: as the costs of AI fall and the technology matures, that Alabama moment will arrive. When the economics make sense for your business model, you'll adopt. When the dilemma is real, the uncertainty is the bottleneck, and the prediction machine is good enough to resolve it, that's when your CEO needs to care. The Moneyball story of the Oakland Athletics illustrates another crucial point. Billy Beane's genius was not just using statistics to find undervalued players. His genius was understanding that better prediction changes who you hire and how you organize. The team didn't just add a stat sheet to the scouts' clipboard. It created an entirely new role, the sabermetric analyst, someone who tells the machines what to predict and then uses those predictions to make organizational decisions. Better prediction increased the value of judgment. You suddenly need people who can decide what to measure, how to measure it, and what it means for your organization. That changed the organizational chart. Now almost every baseball team has a data scientist or head of analytics. The Houston Astros have a separate decision sciences unit. These aren't junior statisticians buried in the back office. They're senior people with authority over who gets hired and how resources flow. Here's the economic principle. Prediction and judgment are complements. As you get better predictions, you don't need fewer people, you need different people. You need people who can exercise judgment about what matters. That sounds counterintuitive, but it's the heart of how AI actually changes organizations. Strategic decisions with AI also require rethinking your reward functions. Before data analytics, baseball scouts judged individual players. After analytics, the question shifted. How does this player fit with these other players to create the best team? The focus moved from optimizing one component to optimizing the system. Your managers need to understand the new goals and the new constraints. Now, who captures the value from all this prediction? Many executives claim that data itself is the strategic asset, that having years of historical data is like owning a reservoir of oil. But there's a problem with that logic. Not all data has the same value. Training data, which you use to build the initial model, is valuable once. But input data and feedback data, the data you need to run the model and improve it going forward, that's where sustained value lies. Your 10 years of yogurt sales history might have been valuable when you built the model, but now it's burned. The future value comes from collecting new data or from something else entirely. Think about who got rich from the spreadsheet. Dan Bricklin invented it, but he didn't become a billionaire. Lotus founder Mitch Kapper and Microsoft's Bill Gates captured more value. But even they only got a small fraction of the spreadsheet's total value. Where did it all go? To the businesses using spreadsheets to make better decisions. Because prediction machines operate at the decision level, they only matter if someone acts on them. The company that owns the decision often owns the most value. A supermarket chain using AI to predict yogurt demand has something an AI vendor doesn't. The ability to actually stock the yogurt. Without that action, the prediction is worthless. That's why traditional businesses, the ones that own actual operations, have an advantage. They can capture some of the value AI creates just by controlling the actions. But in autonomous vehicles, that logic starts to crack. Waymo, Tesla, Uber, and traditional car makers are all competing in a space where the AI might actually own the action. Baidu is running Project Apollo with dozens of partners, including major automakers. Tencent is building alliances around autonomous driving. The old rules don't work when the AI provider can vertically integrate into owning the whole chain, the software, the hardware, the fleet, the customer relationship, and the decision. So for your C-suite, the takeaway is this. Artificial intelligence won't stay confined to helping your operations run more smoothly. When prediction gets good enough to resolve a genuine strategic trade-off in your business model, it becomes a board-level issue. You need to understand the three ingredients, you need to anticipate how it changes who you hire and how you organize, and you need to think hard about who owns the decisions your AI will be supporting. The simple economics of an AI strategy comes down to two things. First, prediction machines reduce uncertainty and enable you to resolve strategic dilemmas differently than you could before. And second, as prediction gets better, the value of judgment and action and data go up, and you need to organize yourself around those new complements.